Palmyra Atoll is 1,000 miles south of Hawaii, and it's an ideal setting for research into shark populations. Shark sightings are fairly rare in Hawaiian waters, but researchers at Palmyra see them almost every time they get in the water. The Nature Conservancy has just completed an 8-year study of the shark population there, and Eric Conklin, the Conservancy's Director of Marine Science, is on hand to tell us about it. Good morning, Eric.
Good morning.
First of all, these waters down there at Palmyra sound spectacular.
They really are. Superlatives fail, to be honest. It's a place that you really have to see to believe, and I've never met anyone that's had the fortune to go down that hasn't just been completely blown away by the experience.
This is a reef system pretty much untainted by human interference, yeah?
Yeah, that's right. It is, and that's one of the things that makes it so special is it's harder and harder in today's world to find the corners of the globe that are relatively untouched, that have a really light influence of people. And it is one of those places, and we've been incredibly fortunate to be able to work down there and help contribute to conserving that place and keeping it that way.
And this is a marine protected area. What's the designation?
Yeah, it's a preserve for the Nature Conservancy. It's a national wildlife refuge, mm-hmm. and it's also a marine national monument. So it's got several layers of protection, in part because it is such an amazing place and is globally significant in what it has to offer.
And those layers of protection are working, obviously.
That was a big part of why we did the study, actually, is we wanted to verify that that's the case. We believed it to be true, but we thought as part of being good stewards, we needed to make sure we had the right data in place to be able to verify that we were doing a good job of taking care of that place and that those layers of protection were working. And the short version of the answer is it's great and everything is working.
You know, one of the things that's sort of counterintuitive to the layman is the notion that the health of an ecosystem depends on having an appropriate number of apex predators.
Yeah, you know, it's one of the things that's become increasingly clear by studies done all around the world is that the healthiest reefs in the world have very healthy apex predator populations. And there's a little bit of a chicken and egg argument. Are they healthy because they have these apex predator populations, or do they have these apex predator populations because they're healthy?
Yeah.
My guess is that it's a combination of both, mm-hmm. that you can only have those populations on a healthy system, but those robust populations of apex predators actually very much do contribute to that system and the maintenance of that system in its state. And so there's that positive feedback of that's not the chicken and egg. It's the cycle of both supporting each other.
Yeah. And if the sharks are getting enough to eat, they're likely to stay around a specific reef system?
Yeah, that was one of the questions that we were looking at is do the reef sharks around Palmyra stay around Palmyra, or do they feel the need to leave and migrate to other areas, mm-hmm. where maybe they're not as well protected by the rules and regulations that we have in place in Palmyra? And what we found is the sharks of Palmyra stay at home. Very rarely some will move to neighboring islands and atolls, but the vast majority stay not only around the atoll, but they stay in their particular corner of the atoll and occasionally but rarely even venture to the other side of the atoll.
If a shark were to traverse from one atoll a reef system to another, wouldn't that involve traveling in an area where there wasn't enough for it to eat?
It absolutely would. It's a bit of a mystery how do
they know where to go?
right. A reef shark leaves Palmyra and has to cross, miles and miles and miles of abyssal ocean and an empty open ocean, and yet they seem to be able to do it upon occasion. But generally speaking, they stay close to home. Although one of the things that partners from Stanford found was that many of the reef sharks around Palmyra actually spend a decent amount of their time feeding far offshore. If you look at what their food is, in part coming from the reef itself and in part coming from the open ocean surrounding it, which was a bit of a surprise. Everyone had assumed at that point that most of the food came from the reef itself. The reef is home. The food is from the reef and also from the open ocean next door.
It also hints at a pretty sophisticated directional finding system, knowing where they are, knowing where the food is, being able to get far from the reef and know which way is home, right?
Yeah, absolutely. The sensory systems of sharks are a complete marvel that folks have been studying for years and still don't completely understand. Yeah. I think the sharks have a whole suite of sensory systems that allow them to navigate the world that I think are just really difficult for people to even imagine.
Yeah, that gets me to thinking, Eric. You know, what are the – I mean, with a great many creatures like sharks, there's the known and the unknown, to use Dick Cheney's phrase. But, you know, the what is it that's most mysterious, most sort of – that is least known about sharks? Where are the areas that we're still a bit baffled?
You know, that's a tough question because what we don't know about sharks is vastly outweighs what we do know about sharks.
That's what I thought. Yeah.
It's really interesting that every person on the globe has some sort of reaction, often a very visceral and perhaps fear-based reaction to the idea of a shark. Everyone knows about them, and yet we know very little about them. So for the vast majority of shark species out there, we don't know, you know, how big they get, how long they live, when they reproduce, how many babies they produce, what kind of habitats they like. Even the ones that are in places that – even the ones that are comparatively well studied, it's still what we don't know dwarfs what we do. One of the things that we were particularly interested in with this study is to start to get to the question of how do these sharks – interact with their ecosystem. We know they're amazing. We know jumping in the water and being surrounded by sharks is an unforgettable experience.
I bet.
But what's the effect on the system as a whole? What are they doing? What are they contributing? What is that cycle of that relationship between healthy sharks and healthy reefs? And what's lost when we lose those?
At first, you thought you were looking at a decline in populations. But what was the, you know, what have you concluded from this 8-year study?
Yeah, there were a few different lines of evidence that made us concerned that population levels, shark population levels at Palmyra might be declining, and that was a big part of the impetus for this study. What we found was that's actually not the case, that the population is substantial. It's roughly 8,344 gray reef sharks at Palmyra. That's a model estimate. It's a very sizable number. It's a very stable population, and it's in good shape. The number wasn't quite as big as some other methods of surveying shark populations had suggested it would be, but it's still considerable. And when you compare it to other areas where people have a much greater impact, it's many, many, many more sharks than you'll find in areas that people have a larger touch.
So if you're lucky enough to be snorkeling in a beautiful reef, thank a shark, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Thanks very much for coming in, Eric.
Thank you.
Eric Conklin is Director of Marine Science at the Nature Conservancy, which has just completed an 8-year study of shark populations at Palmyra Atoll. And you can get details on our Hawaii Conversation Facebook page.